One student said, I'm really, really worried and feel despair about the climate crisis. I said, there isn't one.
My guest today is Gitte Grippa.
I am an architect. I live in London. I have been now living in London for 36 years. As you probably can hear from my accent, I'm not British. I was born outside the UK. I was already a qualified architect when I came to this country. And the reason I came here was because I met my husband, then and current, back where I am from. And I moved here to be with him, and I've been with him ever since. And for the last 30 years, I've been running my own architectural practice.
Do you want to talk yet about why you're appearing not as yourself, but as an avatar?
Because of the subject matter we're going to talk about today. As in your own words, Tom, I'm a climate realist. I am also a skeptic, but most importantly, I'm a realist. And as an architect, it's too much of a, risk to my business to come out openly saying that I do not agree with the current popular discourse on climate. I do not agree that the proposals suggested, the restrictions the governments are proposing are realistic or helpful for the humanity. And saying this openly presents a risk to my business. That's why I'm an avatar. I do not want to disclose my name because of that reason.
I discovered you as Gitte Grippa on Twitter. You have a very good, a very information-filled Twitter feed. And do you want to talk about how you became a well-informed climate skeptic?
Thank you for saying my Twitter is well informed. Actually, it's quite thin. I don't have time and I don't like writing anything inaccurate, and I do not want to react willy-nilly to anything written there. Thank you. It all started in the early 2000s, as you probably remember yourself. The whole discussion about global warming was becoming very prominent on the mainstream media. It was in the background and just going there like, like any other life matter. And one day I read this article. I think it was 2009. I have to say I kept that article for a very, very long time. Recently, I moved offices and I think I have thrown it away. It was in the supplement of the then called the Sunday Independent newspaper. There was an interview with some influential people of Britain, including the ex-Chancellor of Exchequer Nigel Lawson and the botanist David Bellamy. They were asked the question, is the Earth really getting warm? And are the humans the cause of this? So I thought their answers were very well considered and realistic. Nigel Lawson said, well, I just wrote a book about it. I was commissioned by Tony Blair. It is a dumb thing in this country. I'm sure to say in the States, you can commission well-known ex-politicians to look into something. That could be, for example, over drug use by the young people. But this time it was this. He was asked to go and check what is behind this. Why is everyone flapping about? And he wrote a book about it. It is called An Appeal to Reason, A Cool Look at Global Warming by Nigel Lawson. It's a very good book. I would recommend it to anybody now, everyone now, still. He found out, he concluded that there may be some warming by humans, and he sat down and spoke to scientists and they come up with a possible realistic calculation of an increase in the atmospheric temperature caused by humans due to CO2 emissions so negligible, the effects could only be positive, he concluded. It happens that I don't necessarily think that CO2 is warming, human emitted CO2 is warming the Earth myself currently. I do not think that, but it doesn't matter what I think, really, because I decided that, okay, I'm going to move on from now on, that say that we are warming. I do not get challenged, oh, you are not a climate scientist, what do you know about it? Say that I am allowing myself to be challenged, although as I think often that you don't have to be an astrophysicist to think that there is a solar system and the sun is a star. And I also don't like to use the word believe. So I'm going around our conversation, but I'll get back to my point. I always say think, because I am thinking. This is not a belief system. And I resent the word climate denier. And some very well scientists, in inverted commas, very well known scientists, regularly use this climate denier term. And I regularly pick on them saying, what does that mean? Nobody's denying there's a climate. What does that mean? It's just to put people like me down, just to bully us, actually. And I'll get there. So back to the book. When I, and then I also read what David Bellamy said. David Bellamy was literally laughing. How can this be possible? He said the biggest greenhouse gas is water vapor, i.e. the clouds. So this conversation and I are having is not about that, because you have interviewed some serious people about this. I have nothing to add. My point is how back in 2009, this could be talked about in a national newspaper. People who didn't think so could be interviewed, even by the BBC. And I was intrigued and I started to read more about this subject. And I started following Roy Spencer, I still do, on the IceCap US, his blog. And then I bought Robert Carter's book. I find a good book like that, I buy more than one and I hand it out to people. Yes, Climate, The Counter Consensus by Robert Carter is an Australian scientist. He has since died, since the publication of this book. And it's out of print, but you can get it on Amazon secondhand. It's one of the best books I read on the subject, because it explains it extremely well and easily in an understandable manner by people like me. At the end of the book, there's a chapter about how the institutions like the BBC, actually how the BBC made it a duty for themselves to go with this agenda and actually work towards banning people who don't agree so being broadcast or interviewed on the BBC. And he has reference to internal meetings held by the BBC on this subject. So I read that book, and then my daughters were then teenagers. I got them to read the Nigel Lawson book, which I'm not sure whether they read cover to cover, but they got the idea. They became physicists, not because of that book, obviously not. They were interested in science. They both became physicists and studied in different universities. But whenever I went to school meetings, parents' meetings at one of my daughter's schools, they went to different schools, secondary schools. I used to see in the library, they used to lay out wine and nibbles for the parents and in the school library. And I used to see these books on the shelves open and being advertised saying, climate change, climate crisis. This is about 10 years ago or a bit longer maybe. 12 years ago, I used to pick them up, fold them and hide them so that the kids wouldn't be brainwashed. Because they were brainwashing the children, and they did. A lot of them. I don't know how it's going to be reversed. So then I was noticing this shutdown on discussion, and that was only making me more interested on the subject. Why are these people trying to stop the discussion? Surely that can only make one more suspicious and skeptic. Why am I not allowed to discuss this? I mean, you don't have to be a genius to work that one out. One day I was having dinner with a good friend of mine who was the editor then, a very prominent architectural weekly architectural journal. So we were talking like this. So I said, look, this is the subject matter came up, but then it was all still global warming, by the way. I said, look, this is what I think, and this is why. Oh, she said, sounds really interesting. Can you write an email about this, sort of summarizing what you think and why and where you found, you know, some references to some books and articles? I said, sure. And then I wrote this email to her. And then the magazine ran an leader on it. It read, is global warming a lot of hot air? Oh my goodness. A storm broke out. The amount of people writing to the magazine with personal insults. How dare you question this? I thought, we thought journalism was about questioning. You can say you don't agree, but you can't say you can't publish anything like this. I mean, to me, it's mind-boggling. It was, and it still is. It became so bad that we had to support with letters. We had to support some of us, but very few. We had to write an in and say, look, we agree with her. Some of us, not all of us, in questioning. I'm not saying not all of us, not many of us, some. And then I had in my office, I have staff working for me then, still do, but, you know, one of my colleagues got a text from a friend of hers who said, oh, OMG, your boss is a denier. You see why I'm an avatar now? I mean, so this is how it started with me. But I was... I started talking about this less and less among my architectural colleagues to my employees because they were horrified. They literally were horrified. We did thought that I could think otherwise, that there was another discussion. Because one of them once said to me, how can you say this when there are so many scientists say that there is a global warming crisis caused by the humans and you don't agree with that? I said, but there are very, very many who don't think so. And you don't get to read about them. And you don't get to read what they are. That's what makes me furious. That all media, everyone, now, but they can say whatever they want, but they will not publish an opposite view on this subject. The Economist newspaper used to be a skeptic, and the editor changed, and it just is like a lead, one of the lead publications in the country, who's just blowing their trumpet. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong for people to say humans are causing the planet to warm, but I think there is a lot wrong to say that there's a crisis. We're all going to die in like 5 years, 10 years, or whatever. And there is a lot wrong with what they are telling us to do. I mean, the governments are telling us to do. That's what I really have very strong views about, about what they are telling us to do. So all this hoo-ha about the global warming and climate change created a very good opportunity for the construction industry professionals to, in inverted commas, become climate warriors. It is literally impossible to build and not emit CO2. It just isn't possible. I mean, what are they talking about? They're just jumping on the bandwagon and writing on their websites, oh, we are this, we are that, which is just not true. To this day, I haven't got anything on my website with any reference to sustainability. I don't have any problem with sustainability. I don't have any problem with protecting the environment. But trying to make a trade out of it based on packs of lies, I have a lot to do, a lot of anger about it, against it. So the council started asking us architects to do extra work when we submit our applications for permissions about what we are doing about the climate change, what we're doing about the environment. But in the UK, we have a building code. It's protected by the Act of Parliament. It's the law. We can't build anything that does not comply with the current building regulations. It's all laid out there. It's criminal otherwise. You can't do it. But depends on the type of project, whether it's criminal or not, but it's against the law. You would be practicing unlawfully if you don't comply with them. Why would any sensible architect do that? Now, they've been trying to introduce, they have introduced the Architects Registration Board in this country, introduced compulsory courses on environmental, what do they call it? Sustainability and environment. And also fire, because we had a disaster a few years ago, 70 people died. But these are all governed by the building regulations. When you read it, what they are asking us to do, I'm doing that anyway, because I have to. For example, understand the principles of human comfort and indoor air quality in relation to energy use. But we have to. And then understand the embodied carbon and resource implications of different methods of construction and performance of building materials. This is nothing to do with the building code. This is propaganda. And now a professional body is making it compulsory for us architects to go to a course and learn about this over and above our qualifications. And they said, if you don't, and if you don't show us that you attended this course, we're going to strike you. I'm astounded. I'm questioning the legality of it in my head. I don't know. But, and I don't, the language they use, we have to go and learn this. Not develop our knowledge, learn that this is what's happening. And they call it whole life carbon and low embodied carbon design. These are one of the headlines they have listed that we should be going and looking into. The climate framework, Architects Climate Action Network, they provide courses if you want to, you know, pick one of these. They have given us 10, 15 names. One of them is actually on one of these organizations or groups that offer these courses or papers you can pick and read. They have the Extinction Rebellion name on it. I mean, these people are arrested on the streets of London for throwing soup on artwork, for blocking roads so people die in ambulances. And an architect's body is suggesting a course with their name on it. I mean, Tom, you tell me. You tell me what you think. What is happening?
It's completely crazy. I mean, is there any hope here that peak hysteria is past, or in London, are you at peak hysteria right now, do you think?
I think peak hysteria is suffering a little bit of fatigue because of reality is hitting. With the war between Russia and Ukraine, energy supplies being disrupted. And it's just you and I know that there is no other way to heat our homes. I mean, even if it's electric vehicle and electricity, you and I know, where is that going to come from? I'll get back to that. Maybe I am able to talk again about this, I feel like, among friends.
You can't speak out publicly, but I was wondering, when you speak privately with other maybe architects, do they ever say, you know, this is all baloney at all? Anybody else?
Very few. Maybe none. And the ones that they are architects, but they don't practice as architects. The ones that will agree with me are researchers or lecturers or journalists, if you see what I mean. Two things happened to me. One of them is quite old experience. When I was a member of the RIBA, Royal Institute of British Architects. And then you can be a member as a practice, a company. For that, you pay a bit of extra and you'll become more chartered, a chartered member. So for that, they asked us to fill in the form, and one of them, in the form, there was a condition. It said, I, as the director, will do my best to ensure that my employees come to work using environmentally friendly transport. So why would I want to, what sort of nonsense is this? It's like living in Soviet Russia, literally. It's like being run by Bolsheviks, so I refused. And I didn't become a chartered member. I mean, my company. When they phoned me up to chase, saying, why aren't you? Because they get more money. So they chased you, saying, oh, why aren't you becoming a member? I said, because of this clause. Oh, he said, just tick the box. I'm not going to just tick the box. This is how the young people have got brainwashed, literally brainwashed by these people. And then most recently, as I was saying to you, we have to comply with the building regs and we have to show the local authority that we are building this, whatever it is. Whilst we're building it, we're complying with the current building regulations. We have to submit reports, calculations, everything. They want extra reports now. But I said, why do you want this extra report? You write in this extra report like this, I will ensure that the lorries come to site. We'll use da-da-da-da. I said, but this doesn't make sense. Oh, he said, just cut and paste, make a report. So it's very upsetting for me at being asked to go into this compulsory course. So I was going to deregister myself, but then I said, maybe I won't, because I found out that I can record if I go and read one of these things they have suggested. There's nothing wrong. See what they are saying. And there's nothing wrong with going and listening to an opposing view. if that's what I'm trying to say. If I go and read or listen to one or two of them, and I'm supposed to reflect and comment on what I learned, and I thought that's when I will write, saying this is a lot of nonsense, and then see what they do to me then, because by law they can't deregister me for saying I don't agree with this. If you see what I mean, because I'm still complying with the building regulations. My projects have to, otherwise I can't build anyway. So if their aim is to change the way I think, that's against the law in the States as well as here, as you and I know. So I thought that would be a good way of challenging them. Would you agree?
Yeah, I love that idea. I think that's fantastic.
Don't you think it's a good idea? Why should I deregister myself because of these, excuse me, I'm going to be rude, because of these clowns?
It's a great idea for you to go to the course and then write all sorts of comments about how this is all baloney. I love that idea.
I'm going to do that and see what they do. I bet you they won't do anything. Do you know why? Because they don't even read it. Well, let's see. I'm just very curious. I'll let you know. Good. I'll report back. Since you asked about this is what's happening with my friends. It became so bad about not agreeing with the climate being changed by human beings among friends and colleagues that this is not recently, this is say 5-6 before the pandemic, I would just be quiet all the time. So if I have to say anything, it would be literally worse than saying in a very, say, imagine a very religious country, maybe a very religious. It would be easier to say you don't believe in God in Saudi Arabia than say you don't believe that there's a man-made climate change on Earth here in this country that became so bad. And so I had to sort of stop people and say, look, I'm going to tell you something, but you might be upset. That's what I used to say to people, how I used to say to my friends, I don't agree with this argument. But recently, something promising happened. I was asked to join a panel discussion about ethics and the environment. And I said to myself, do I really want to do this? That panel discussion was about a group of students who had paid to attend this 5-week private course organized by a school of architecture. And I was asked to be a part of the panel. And I said to myself, do I really want to be a part of this? Expose myself and tell them what I said, okay, I'll go and see what I'll say. Maybe I'll say nothing much. Of course, I couldn't keep it shut, could I? Because there was a philosopher in the panel and then head of an architectural school, a department head of an architectural school, and myself. There were students who were asking us questions and we were answering. The bandit philosopher was indirectly asked about the climate change and humans being the reason for it. He said, look, I understand that other people might think otherwise, and I understand that all parts, I agree that everyone should be listened to and published their thoughts, but I think it must be very annoying for the experts to know that the climate is changed by humans, and then there's these agitators saying it is not. And he said he believes that we are changing it. I said to him, I turned and ran and said to him, those experts, I said, who are agitated by the skeptics, do they include, are they similar to the experts that threatened to burn Galileo alive? Students love that. And at the end of the discussion, when the whole panel discussion was over, one student said, I'm really, really worried and feel despair about the climate crisis. I said, there isn't one. And if you want to know why not, come and see me after the talk. I'll give you a bunch of books name, bunch of book names to read and some podcasts. And Tom, I gave yours.
Nice.
And I said to him, this podcast is brilliant because there are interviews with people who are really, who really know what they're talking about. And then I said, you must listen to Patrick Moore one because I think it's a very good one, the Patrick Moore one. And also he was the co-founder of Greenpeace. It's always a good credential, isn't it? So they, at the end of the discussion, a group of them, I was surrounded by a group of them. They were so hopeful because they wanted to believe. I'm saying believe, you know, disbelieve that we're all going to die. Because they want to talk. Honestly, these young people are so badly affected by this propaganda.
Yeah, that gives me a lot of hope that young people were crowding around and actually listening to you. That makes me very happy. That's great.
Yes, it is. Because they're not, we are not allowed to ignore, I'm not the one who's going to explain, but no one is allowed to explain this. Nigel Lawson was interviewed on the radio 10 years ago on BBC Radio 4. People were so outraged that he would be given a platform, there were serious complaints about it. I mean, but that can only indicate that there is something cynical going on. Do you think the same, Tom?
I do. Yeah, something sinister is going on. From my perspective, I think the worm is turning. I think there's an awakening happening right now, and I think the worst is past us. And as more and more people like you speak out, I think it's going to crumble. I am positive.
Well, thank you also. I mean, as you know, I came across with your blog through Twitter, and then I wrote to you saying thank you for doing these fantastic podcasts. And you wrote, and then we have another connection. We have a common friend, but it's just a coincidence. And so I thank you for doing this. It's such great work.
I mean, thank you.
We are so lucky that you exist. Literally, and you put all these people together. I mean, people, we need people like you.
You are far too kind.
Who's not an avatar? Sorry.
You're far too kind, but thanks for the kind words. You mentioned you have two daughters that are physicists, but you're getting laughed at by the cohorts of one of the daughters because of your stance?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, we're all friendly. They respect me, but they don't say it to my face, but they say to my daughter, what? Your mother doesn't believe that the climate is being changed by humans? Ho, ho, ho. That's, I don't want to name which university it is, but there are two different universities. One of them is more realistic and commercial. The realistic and commercial one, they don't laugh at me. The other ones, they are more academics. They are laughing at me. I said to her, we'll see who's gonna have the last laugh.
Good for you. You have enough self-confidence. I love that. You just say what you think is the truth and let them laugh. I love that stance.
I don't know how good it's going to do to me eventually. We'll find out.
No, the truth will come out.
I'm outraged, or rather I should say I'm enraged by the Western politicians and with what they are doing currently. When this hysteria started, and it was in 2009, soon after 2009, like 2010, 11, soon after I read Nigel Lawson book and Bob Carter book, I was saying to my husband, these people are mad. What are they trying to do? My husband said, it will never take off in the United States. They are far too clever for this. Why would they self-destruct themselves knowing that economy cannot exist without fossil fuels? That's why I am saying something sinister is going on, has been going on, because we know it isn't possible. That's one reason I'm enraged. The second reason, as a follow-up, I must add that these people are shutting down their economies by canceling fossil fuel use, by trying to cancel fossil fuel use, stopping extracting their own oil, gas pipeline Biden stopped. And then they are getting the taxpayers either to sponsor, subsidize, or directly use their money to buy these ineffective equipment, I call them, like windmills, like Latimer Older calls them windmills. And I do that on purpose to insult. Solar panels made in autocratic countries under dubious circumstances by emitting CO2. I mean, CO2 doesn't go in a tank, sit above China. What are they doing? This is, to me, this is treason. These people should be brought to trial and jailed. I really think this is treason. And we are paying money to these people who are bringing these useless equipment over here, damaging biodiversity and the wildlife. I don't believe any head of state can be so stupid. I think there's an ulterior motive going in there, and they really should be tried and jailed. They should be hunted down. That's what I think.
I do. Let's see. I like the way you think. Some other things I wanted to mention here, that reasons that I am optimistic, is I was just listening on my phone to Joe Rogan. Chris Williamson was on there. And
oh, was he? Okay.
Yep, I just listened to it. And constantly on Joe Rogan, climate is coming up as an aside. And again, it came up and they both kind of scoffed at it about how ridiculous it is, which is important because so many people listen to Rogan. And that's a big change for Rogan. I think he was talking to Candace Owens, and he was absolutely shocked that she didn't believe in the climate scam some years ago. But now he is scoffing at it over and over. He just keeps scoffing. I love that.
I'm very pleased to hear.
Yeah. And then Tucker Carlson, too. Willie Soon's on Tucker Carlson getting millions of views. And then there's a little clip of Willie talking on Twitter. And that one, just a little clip, has 5 million views. So we have millions of people being exposed to this all the time. And these audiences are bigger than the CNNs and the Foxes, et cetera. So I think the worm is absolutely turning. And then I wanted to mention that you've watched The Great Global Warming Swindle. There's another sequel coming out, and I think that's going to help.
I hope so. Yeah. I can't wait for that. I know Martin, and I'm a big fan of his. I can't wait for the second one. I can't wait. Tell me where it's going to be out, Tom.
It is coming out on YouTube, et cetera, on March 21. So it's coming right up here in a month away.
We must heavily share it on Twitter regularly. So that people know this, you know, they can watch this film.
Yeah, I think it's going to be important to spread the word virally. And yes. People tell your friends, et cetera, and make sure everybody knows about it. Yeah, that'll be good.
Yes.
And then we wanted to state the main point of this interview that we're doing here is the fact that you have to do it as an avatar. I think it's just amazing that professionally you can't just come on here and give your real name and because it's just a poisonous still. It's amazing in 2024 that you can't say you don't believe in the climate scam without repercussions.
No, that's right. And I hope that changes, because I find it deeply saddening to be in this. I find it deeply saddening that this country has come to this.
Again, I'm confident that it will change. I mean, there was just with this... this pandemic, there was all sorts of things you couldn't say 3 years ago that are mainstream. Everybody's saying them now. I think climate's going to follow a similar pattern. Yeah.
Yes, I do also think that there's a big reason that the social media is so fast, so people get influenced very quickly. But then, of course, it can die very quickly for the same reason as well. It spreads and then gets extinguished. But I find it unacceptable that BBC would not allow anyone to utter a word about this in an opposing view.
Oh, it'll be interesting to see when they change that policy, if ever. The headline on Reuters is JP Morgan, State Street, quit climate group. BlackRock steps back too. So, yeah.
Good.
That type of thing is very, very encouraging. Any other points you want to make before we go ahead and wrap this one up?
No, thank you. That's it. But thank you for giving me this opportunity, Tom.
I really appreciate you being on here, and everyone should follow you at Get Agrippa on Twitter. So thank you for your work. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Tom. Thank you.
We'll talk to you next time. Goodbye.
Yep, bye.